What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's June 9th, 2026. We're recording this on Monday, June 8th at about 3 o'clock p.m. on the West Coast. I'm back. Y'all don't even want to know from where. It's fine, but I'm back this week. Happy to be here.
It was hell on earth, y'all. He had to go to office for a week straight.
No, I'll tell you about it some other time, Mark. You don't even know.
I remember hanging out with my buddy. I have a good buddy named Paul who he went straight into comedy out of college. He never really had a job after working at the mall when he was in high school. And he was talking about a friend of ours who got promoted at a comedy club. He went from being a waiter to a manager. And he was like, bro, he's working like 5 days a week now. He said that out loud. And I was like, fucking, I was like, how many days do you think? Like, so.
Yeah, I know. No, I mean, you know, it has been a long time since I had to basically show up at what's essentially an office for an eight hour workday, 5 days in a week. That is true. Mm-hmm. But it was way more just other stuff. What's what we were doing there, Mark? But right. Anyway.
I know. I'm familiar. I'm just making fun.
Yeah, I know. You've done it before, but you weren't at this particular one. People had no idea what we're talking about. It doesn't matter. Yeah. We're here. Drew was here last week, right? Mm-hmm. Was that uneventful? That go fine?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he did. Like,
He didn't do anything insane? He didn't show on the show?
Not this time. He did do his normal thing where he dropped like a rhetorical grenade in my lap with the pen out, then walked off right before the show ended. Where it sounded like I was defending the concept of internet adultery, which is not really. Anyway, it doesn't matter. today we're talking about Spencer Pratt's fucking tilting at windmills in the LA election, which is obviously rigged, and then some data center stuff, including apparently Congress has its own CIA now that it got after January 6th, which is great. Everyone needs their own intelligence agency, right? So before we get to all that, I want to talk about religion. We're gonna get to the bottom of Pete Hegseth has been trying to use the Department of Defense to get to the bottom of which one is the one true God, and you'll never guess it's not going that well. What this is about referring to is a DoD effort to streamline the way service members' religious affiliations are categorized. They based it as overhaul to reduce the number of religious affiliations, the codes involved, and their paperwork from more than 200 to just 31 religions. Which involve folding many faith traditions and belief systems into broader classifications. Okay. So, like, Episcopalians, sorry, you're now just gay Catholics. Methodists, you're just Baptists who do less real estate fraud. And Seventh-day Adventists, you're now Adventists with the regular number of days, whatever that is.
So is this, like, is this mostly a, like, so if you get exploded at war, they'll know how to handle your
remains,
spiritual disposition, basically. Because otherwise, why do they need to, you know, categorize a person's? I do get that part, what I just said, but outside of that, like, you know,
they have a bunch of different religious chaplain. I think it involves the paperwork the chaplains have to do to accommodate people's faith traditions. I don't think that's to do with, like, I don't think it materially affects anybody's lived day to day life in the military.
Right.
Right. Yeah. But we'll get to the controversy in a second. But I want to point out the list that completely got rid of atheists, Unitarian Universalists, which I don't imagine there are a lot of those in the Marines anyway, pagans and Wiccans. So there's no more 10th Army Wiccan Division. So I guess a couple of our wives cannot join the army if they can't do their sage and essential oils and shit.
Yeah, that's a shame. Unitarian Universalist, is that the one where it's like, hey, there's a church and stuff, but we don't do God, or they do believe in a God, but there's no, it's like super woke church, is that what that
is?
Yeah,
it's woke church, my understanding. Church. Yeah.
Right, and it's not like affiliated with any of the Abrahamic religions specifically.
No, I think it's, I don't want to. You're going to make me guess? You're asking me like I know. Like, I don't.
The way you said Unitarian Universalist whenever you brought it up made it sound to me like you know. They used to have one of those in Oak Ridge, I think. And I remember getting, like, I got a brochure or whatever, a pamphlet for that particular church. And, I still wasn't going to do it, but it was the only time in my life that I was like, this church doesn't seem completely awful. I'm not going to go. But, and I'm super woke and gay, so I just assume that they are that, too.
They started off as like a Christian, radical Protestantism and Christian Universalist, but then they basically started dabbling a lot of it. Anyway, it's basically if you want to go to their church, you can. That's all you need to know about it. But what's controversial about it is that they did not put Mormons under the Christian category. which does not hit for Mormons.
Where did they put them? Did they take them out entirely, or?
I think it's in their own category. So, which Senator Mike Lee of Utah has called this repugnant, and he's been all over the internet basically for the last 3 days, I think, trying to shit all over Pete Hegseth for being for religious discrimination, for going after Mormons. Like, he's been like Twitter arguments. He's like, because like, okay, I'm not sure. Look, part of the beauty of being non-religious is like, this ain't my fight,
right?
Yeah, I support all y'all. But I don't know what Mormons thought other people thought they were, because I was taught in Southern Baptist Sunday School that Mormons are a cult who aren't Christian, right?
Right.
I think that's a fairly common. I mean, a lot of Protestants don't think Catholicism is real Christianity.
Yeah, right. Either. That's what I was about to say. But I feel like if you're outside of it or whatever, then, you know. Like, I know that they are a sect of Christianity or whatever. I mean, hell, it's the Jesus Christ, but also they've got the Latter-day Saints, which I don't know who those guys are or what they do. But I know that they're with Jesus in the title, so it is Christian. But like you said, fucking Church of Christ, I think it's Church of Christ, thinks that if you're any kind of Christian other than specifically Church of Christ, you will burn in hell for all eternity. So, right. You know, be wild.
It's Christianity's main invention among the Abraham religions is to think the other ones are all doomed to hell. And then that includes within the different denominations. They think each other are doomed to hell. I think Church of Christ people think Baptists are going to hell.
Yeah, right.
Because they dance on their birthdays or whatever.
Yep.
So I don't know, but Mike Lee has spent the last few days on Twitter arguing with MAGA blue check marks about how Mormonism is Christianity. And he's telling them to read the Book of Mormon, and you can go through his Twitter feed and they're like, no, it's the Satan's, it's satanic. And they go like, well, have you read it? And he goes, no, why would I read a book that's satanic? So anyway, good luck to Pete Hegseth. But he says they're going to redo the categories.
Well, this is like the white Christian version of those gay Republicans or Latino Republicans or that type of thing, where it's like, like you didn't realize that you don't count to these people or whatever. They're like shocked to find that or whatever. With Mormons, I get a little bit more because they're so white. You know, like I can get why they would be surprised. Somewhat, but yeah, it's always kind of funny when that happens.
Well, it's new that they were surprised, because Mormons used to be really pro-religious freedom for pretty obvious reasons, because they're part of their backstory is they were fucking persecuted. It's why they fled to Utah in the first place, right? A bunch of them were murdered in literal wars with the United States government over their fucking religion. They also murdered a lot of people in the name of the religion. Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Mike Lee's thrown in with MAGA. They've all forgotten this. I keep thinking like, so the people that run like the Supreme Court and Congress and J.D. Vance are all like Opus Dei hardcore right-wing Catholics. Mm-hmm. Pete Hegseth is a hardcore evangelical whose preacher says that Catholics aren't real Christians and Catholicism should not be allowed to be practiced in public. How do you guys think you're on the same fucking religious team?
Yeah, right.
Right? And how in the world will Mormons with their history... did they ever think they were on this fucking team? Mike Lee, if you want to be a part of a political tradition that includes religious pluralism, it does exist in the United States of America, or it did until fairly recently, and you're just not in it. I don't know what the fuck to tell you. But this is how I learned that Mike Lee is the defendant of a guy named John D. Lee, who's a...
Descendant?
Descendant, yeah. Descendant, okay. That's what I meant to say.
Right, sorry, grandpa or something.
Yeah, his great-grandfather, John D. Lee, who had 19 wives, though 11 did leave him just before he was executed by firing squad for mass murder. He was one of the leaders of the Mountain Meadows Massacre. Have you
them other eight story? Real ride or die, dude. Fucking, he had eight women still stuck with him. Although, I'll be honest, I didn't know that Mormon sister wives were, like, you know, allowed to leave, so... Good for those first 11. But anyway, he mass murdered a bunch of people and then got shot for it.
Yeah, he was one of the leaders of the Mountain Meadows Massacre, where a party of settler colonialists who were heading to California named the Baker-Francher Party, about 120 people were slaughtered by a bunch of Mormons and maybe also Native Americans, it's not really clear how many were actually Native Americans, because a bunch of the Mormons dressed as Native Americans. If you watch the Taylor Kitsch Netflix miniseries American Primeval a couple of years ago, you saw a fictionalized version of this depicted.
Right? Okay, that's what that was about. I still never did get around to watching that. It's on my list, though. Yeah. I know Mormons is wild in that show. That's all I know.
Yes. Also, Hell on Wheels. It wasn't the Western show. Well, Mormons are, we grew up on the East Coast, man. All this Wild West shit, I'm not super familiar with it, but Mormons play a much bigger part of it than you're led to believe by a lot
of Western people. Yeah, I didn't really know that. Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense. I get it, because I know roughly when they went out there, and obviously Utah being the West and shit. But, yeah.
On day three, so they attack the Baker Francher party in Mountain Meadows, and they circle the wagons to do what you do, you know, and initiate this standoff, the siege. I think they only killed like 6 or 7 people in the first volley. Then it was just like sitting there looking at each other. On day three, John D. Lee gets the bright idea of like, I'm going to do a Trojan horse type situation. So he puts back on his white man clothes and walks over to the wagon train with a white flag. He's like, hey, man, we chased those Indians away. They're gone now. Don't worry about it. Come on out. And then all
he's got like one feather sticking out of his pants or something like that. Don't worry about that.
So then they come out of their fortifications, the circle wagons, and then they kill all the men. Then they kill all the women and kidnap 17 of the kids. They might have killed some of the kids or whatever. Then when the U.S. Army got to the bottom of what had happened here, they're like, we think this might have been some Mormons. And they're like, oh, the Indians did it. You know, the Indians always, like, yes, like, Indians using, like, dress shoes and shit. We look at these tracks. They don't look right. So they tried John D. Lee and were set to be executed. And Brigham Young supposedly didn't know about it until after it happened. Nobody really believed that. But John D. Lee, for his part, did not snitch, kept his mouth shut. And his descendants went on to be very successful, including not just Mike Lee, but I think 4 other guys who ended up being United States senators, another 2 were a congressman, a Supreme Court justice, Solicitor General of the United States, and a Utah Supreme Court justice. So Jesus. He ended up, his life worked out pretty well, even though he got executed by firing squad. It's a real American success story, this guy. So, I lost where I was at my fucking outline. Sorry. But, I want to say this. So, John D. Lee was played in a movie called September Dawn about the massacre by John Grease, who you might remember as Uncle Rico on Napoleon Dynamite.
All right.
So this is a movie where John Voight played Brigham Young. You've got this clip. Here's John Grease as the ancestor of Senator Mike Lee.
Mormons! Do your duty.
All right, that's gonna be the last thing Pete Hegseth hears.
To be your God on earth. John Voight is Brigham Young, huh? He's appropriately crazy enough for that. Shit, I kind of want to watch this now. That also, you said that Uncle Rico. Took me forever to realize that's the White Lotus dude. He's like a major part of White Lotus now. I was like into like season 2 or 3 or whatever, and I was like, that's fucking Uncle Rico. You know, it's always fun when that happens. All right, we're going to get into it, skipping the plugs as we do nowadays. Mark already told you what we're going to be talking about a little later, so let's just get started with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, you got that graphic for me, buddy? Do you, Matt? Is there a graphic? I think Matt's got it. This week's DD, those who call themselves patriots but aren't ready to storm man's Chinese theater to declare the guy from the hills mayor of a town where they don't live and will not visit. This is Representative Randy Fine of Florida talking about this whole Spencer Pratt deal. He recently lost an election in L.A. Matt, hit it.
Of questions are surrounding this. Again, you think about how many states had elections that day. We heard from Iowa, Montana, South Dakota, New Mexico, and yet we're only talking about California. They are still counting. Sir, what is going on?
Well, California has invited these accusations of fraud. They have chosen to create a system that cannot deliver election results on election day. I represent the 3rd largest state in the country. We know who's won the elections within an hour or two of polls closing. And so when you invite this kind of skepticism and then weird things happen, there's no reasonable explanation than fraud. I believe fraud is absolutely going on in California.
So, Randy Fine is from Florida. Like, mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. Like, our elections have become so nationalized to the point that, like, people are weighing on shit that doesn't affect them and has no impact on them. But I do want to say that Spencer Pratt flying to New York City days before the election to declare on Fox News that he'd win the L.A. mayoral race outright even before the fucking, like, and finish in first place in the jungle primary. Then spiking the football on election night after a tiny fraction of votes have been counted. Then face planting and missing the runoff is such an incredible collapse. I just have to fucking applaud it. But he was always going to finish third.
Yeah, what's going on? I know I saw a lot of people bitching on Twitter and stuff, like, you know, right-wing dumbasses, just saying, basically being like, trying to make it out that, like, him falling to third all of a sudden, just like, it just can't be true. It can't be the case. Like, how is it possibly legit? I mean, it's got to be electoral fraud because he didn't come in second. He didn't lose and come in second. He fell all the way to third, and that makes it egregious and inexplicable outside of, like, fraudulent rationales. But why the fuck are they saying that?
Look, it's a D+40 city with, like, 15 right. candidates running, right. including other Republicans. It was an amazing accomplishment to finish third.
Right.
Like, he should be fucking celebrated. Put him on money if you want. But, like, it's like, I don't, like, the stuff they find conspiratorial is insane to me. Let me say something so obvious it's going to seem, like, incredibly fucking patronizing when I say it out loud. It would not take a bunch of extra time to not count.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make up a fake number, you could right. have done it a minute after the polls closed.
Right, I mean, matter of fact, I mean, why would you do that if you were making up a fake number? If you were defrauding everyone, why would you do anything as suspicious as taking an inordinate amount of time to count the votes or whatever? You know, you'd want to make it look as, like, straightforward as possible if it was some conspiracy or whatnot. You wouldn't do anything to invite skepticism, although it's always going to be there, but it just doesn't make sense.
Look, I mean, like, look, of all our, like, national sicknesses, California has taken this long for, like, decades. It's never been a problem. It just isn't. If you're a person who doesn't lose sleep over whether or not your congressman got reelected, then who could possibly give a fuck? And the reason it takes so long, it's one, it's our fault. The jungle primary system makes us all vote tactically. So, like, people literally wait until the very last minute to vote because they don't know who exactly they need to vote for to achieve their actual goals, right? Like, my wife didn't turn in her ballots till, like, the day, election day. She dropped it off on the way back to work at, like, 4 p.m. or whatever. That's because I did not know. I mean, we were just on vacation and didn't get back, but people are waiting to see. Like, I voted for Karen. Okay, talking about the mayoral primary. I voted for Karen Bass 4 years ago. This time around, I wanted to vote for someone a little more progressive, a little more left wing. Nothing mean it. I have no hard feelings against Karen Bass. Just wanted to try something different, right? But there were three progressive challengers, and I had to wait to see who was polling closest to Bass to see who would be most useful to put my vote towards.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm part of the conspiracy that I waited to the last minute. But part of the reason California takes so long to count votes is because they have such a small L liberal voting system that wants to encourage as many people to vote by mail and vote by as possible. They take longer to make sure the votes were legal. They spend extra time curing ballots and judging signatures and shit. And give you in a month to fucking go to the county register office and contest it if your ballot was incorrect or, like, processed incorrectly. Mm-hmm. So they're trying hard to get it right. It's also just a government job. They go home at 5. So I don't know what you want from it. It's just like, it's the biggest pile of nothing. But yeah, right. Go ahead.
Well, just, I don't, like, what is up with Spencer Pratt and the whole thing to begin with? It's just, they latched onto him because, like you said, it's a crazy accomplishment that he even got third. Like, the fact that he was having, I don't know if it's because of his celebrity or whatever, but him being, mm-hmm. like, one of their candidates in a race like this and making any kind of noise, they, like, you know, glommed onto that or backed him for that reason. That's where, like, the interest came from to begin with or something.
It's just because they know him from the TV. Yeah, and, like, right. because he's been good at going viral by making stupid AI videos that we'll get to. But, like he just, like, they keep saying, like, how did Nithya Rahman pass him? No one knows who Nithya Rahman is. And I'm like, well, you don't, because you live in fucking Florida and Austin, Texas, and New Jersey and Philadelphia. Nithya Raman's really well known in Los Angeles. She won as a DSA challenger to an incumbent in 2020. Defeating an incumbent in LA City Council does not fucking happen. She got like AOC comparisons in 2020. Then in 2023, the Democratic establishment in LA tried to turf her out by redistricting because she was so annoying, progressive. So I voted for her because she annoys the same people that annoy me. So I wanted to do that. But like, in comparison to to Spencer Pratt, TV Guide included Pratt in its 2013 list of the, quote, the 60 nastiest villains of all time on television. He has a 60% disapproval rate in Los Angeles. Yeah. And just because you know him from your screens does not mean that we like him. Right. 87% of his money came from outside Los Angeles. All of his campaign videos were AI generated. In a town where all the actors live.
Right. Yeah. And he was a reality star or whatever, but he was like, you know, in the business or whatnot. And I remember Heidi, right? Heidi was his lady. Are they still Heidi together?
Montag, yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I know she tried to, you know, make the transition into like more mainstream fame and all that shit. And they had their, you know, they were all tabloid stars and stuff. Which I hated the whole time.
Me too.
Yeah.
But they just did Dancing with the Stars like last year. She did. And he was like, he wore another mask and unmasked her or whatever. The idea that like there's some groundswell of affection to the general public for Spencer Pratt is not something that's evidenced by any sort of facts. And one of his ads, it involved a couple of yoga ladies who were talking about how, you know what, Spencer Pratt has some good ideas. I like him too. Don't tell anybody, but I'm going to vote for Spencer Pratt. These were three women who were AI generated. He could not find three women to pretend to like his candidacy.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think that there's some sort of like, that you must be like some sort of conspiracy to defeat him?
Because dude, these people, even though they think, you know, LA and San Francisco and all these like California cities are, you know, fucking coastal liberal hell holes and all that shit. Even though they both think that, they also think that like, somehow that everyone agrees with them, you know, or even if it's like secretly, especially any white people or whatever, it's like secretly they actually agree with everyone, really thinks this, they're just too cowardly to admit it or something like that, even though there's all this evidence, you know, to the contrary. But a lot of these people live so deep in their own bubble and everything that they're like, they just, LA had just been waiting for a guy like Spencer Pratt to allow them to embrace, you know, their true MAGA feelings as an electorate or whatever. Like, these people really talk themselves into shit like that.
I want to ask them what they think he would be able to accomplish. Like, if no one else in city council is on his side about fucking anything, he could probably get a few more cops on the beat and cooperate more with ICE. That's about all he could do. Like, let him be fucking mayor. Who gives a shit? But I cannot for the life of me understand what all these people live in Florida and Texas or whatever care about LA City trash collection or what the fuck ever. It's goddamn insane to me. But I do like this. I think it's a really fun idea. The Democrats have this unbeatable fucking vote rigging operation.
I know.
But instead and of using it all the fucking time. Yeah. They basically just use it sadistically. They wait till Republicans are about to have some sort of big upset and then whoop, turn it on. But they don't turn. Instead, they don't use to stop Donald Trump from becoming president and then trying to put them all in fucking jail. I think they're using it inappropriately, is my point.
Well, it's that same thing with our weather machine. That we have didn't use that to put out the fires in California or whatever, just so people wouldn't know that we sent those hurricanes to the south or whatever the fuck happened. I've been trying to get in touch with the people down at Weather Machine HQ because. You know, as a leftist propagandist, I know some people that run the Weather Machine, trying to make sure that the UFC thing on Sunday, you know, we gin up a big thunderstorm for that. Send a tornado through there if possible.
I thought the White House UFC thing Sunday. I thought it was July 4th.
I'm pretty sure it's Sunday.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
It's all. It's like part of. America's birthday deal or whatever, but it's this Sunday, I think. But anyway, trying to see if I can get some time on the weather machine to send a big
why wouldn't they fight in the rain? What does it make if they get brain damage and broken bones in the rain? Let them fight in the rain.
They will, apparently. So you ain't seen people talking about that? Because it's like there's like a 65% chance that as of right now for weather. And they say they will fight in the rain. But if there's any lightning or like high winds or anything, then they'll have to call it, they said. The UFC guy said that. Oh, so
was there? What, I'm sorry, did George Washington and his men not fight in the weather, you fucking pussies? Thought you loved America. So part of this, all these election lies have somehow been financially supported by Kelsey and Polymarket. At least 16 influencers, this is according to this article I was reading, with a collective audience of 13 million, have published election-related misinformation posts sponsored by Polymarket. Here's an example. You want to throw that up, Matt, from an influencer by the name of Owen Schroyer. Owen Schroyer is a former InfoWars correspondent. He has a paid partnership with Polymarket for some fucking reason. Previously, he was named a defendant in a defamation lawsuit by the Sandhook families and was found liable by default because he didn't show up to court. He was also sentenced to 60 days in jail for his role in January 6th. So you definitely would be paying this guy to be associated with your politics betting brand. Kelsey's doing this shit too. There's a screen grab in there from a post by Gunther Eggelman, who's not a real name, that guy. Another Kelsey, guy on Kelsey's payroll said, we should all fly to L.A. and vote for Pratt. Nothing can stop us. They don't require voter ID. If you believe that, please come try this and fucking end up in prison. You guys are all so fucking stupid. Then Polymarket and Kelsey had to realize they were fucking with their own money. And tell the people that they're paying for advertisements not to promote election conspiracies, because I want to emphasize this here. They take money for people who gamble on elections.
Right. Yeah.
If the election results are fraudulent, they can't take bets on them.
Right. Yeah.
It'd be like a NFL sports book accusing the fucking refs of being in the pocket of the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they finally could have told them to cut it out. What if the book at like Churchill Downs, like Sea Biscuits juiced, you know, wouldn't really work. But so to understand another reason these conspiracy theories are stupid, you got to understand the players here. So like the top three are Karen Bass, Spencer Pratt, and Nithya Raman, as I said before. I told you why Raman isn't like super popular with the LA Democratic establishment, which should be self evidenced by the fact she's running against the sitting Democratic mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So in this scenario, I want to ask, who do you think is rigging it for Nithya Raman?
Right.
The votes are counted by this county, not the city, but she doesn't really have a constituency among the elites in either. But Karen Bass, for her part, remember a couple weeks ago you were asking about whether or not Democrats are doing some sort of election chicanery to support any Republican candidates, some cynical fuckery?
Mm-hmm.
Karen Bass was kind of doing that with Spencer Pratt.
Right. Yeah, because she would be more confident in winning the general against Spencer Pratt, right, than this, than Romney.
It was all the polls that were saying Spencer Pratt was in a close second place to Karen Bass, promoted by, it was internal polls done by the Bass campaign. She's right. The one telling Spencer Pratt's followers he's just about getting, to do it.
Mom Donnie'd, right?
Yes.
By Rama.
Yeah. So she really wants like Pratt to be in the general because she, like, let me quote from some polls here. She's favored to beat Pratt by about 18 and Rama by only about 4, which would probably close with the momentum of being in the general, right? So who is the they here rigging it to fuck Pratt?
I
can't figure it out for the life of me.
Antifa, Mark.
Yeah, I guess.
The deep pockets of far-left Antifa.
The same people that can't get bike lanes or a single fucking homeless shelter built in L.A. County, right?
Yeah.
So, and like, if you're not familiar with Spencer Pratt and how fucking stupid this all is, they're throwing in behind him as like the candidate, the Republican candidate of the future the whole country's rooting for. Since the Hills, he's been doing I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and he rapped under the name Great White. In July,
word? Yes. First of all, that's already a band name, right? From the 80s. Like 80s, like fucking hair metal or that type of thing, whatever they were called, Great White. But also, wow.
Just he didn't even have his own rap career. So Heidi was trying to sing, and he was like her MC Scat Cat rapping in between her second and third verse. Oh, my
God, dog. Imagine that. I'm glad I never. I knew Heidi tried to sing, tried to be a pop star or whatever. I did not know that he was doing the, like, you know, the shitty-ass rap interludes or whatnot. Mm-hmm. That's the worst thing I can imagine musically.
it was like the Drake line on Meek Mill when Meek was engaged to Nicki Minaj, like, that ain't a world tour, that's your girl's tour. Pretty much the most devastating line in world history. So so they're so desperate to remain famous, which has to be a part of how you understand this fucking campaign for mayor. In July of 2010, Heidi Montag filed for divorce from Pratt, but they called off the divorce after confessing the action was intended to boost her career. Then they renewed their vows. They did a fake divorce to get in TMZ, and it didn't work, so they just got fucking remarried. Pratt was also arrested and jailed in Costa Rica in September 2010 while attempting to board an aircraft with guns. So there. So... his actual campaign, I cannot explain to you the degree to which he was not trying to do anything. Like, this is a total fabrication.
What do you mean? Like, politically? Or you mean, like he didn't even mean for it to go this far? Or what do you mean he wasn't trying to? He had no, like, policy, no platform, no plan of any kind. He just talked shit and made AI videos?
His basically that. Like, it wasn't like he was campaigning, like, he did fundraisers in Beverly Hills or whatever, but I'm telling you, he was doing his press appearances in New York on Fox News, which is not a way you fucking reach voters in LA County, right? And or the city of Los Angeles. He also his campaign was based upon two things: his personal narrative, because his house burned down in the Palisades fire, to which he responded by lying and pretending that he was living in an Airstream trailer in his burnt down lot. When actually he was staying at a hotel in Beverly Hills while his family lives in fucking Santa Barbara in a mansion, right? And his actual campaign platform was just about killing the homeless, basically. There was no, like... it was just like we got... Like, he went on Fox News and they complained about how all the homeless people are raping their dogs. That was
their
his campaign
own platform. Dogs?
Yes!
Our dogs.
Their dogs.
The homeless people's dogs.
Yes, the homeless people have dogs they're
not
raping.
Not Angelino's dogs. No. They're raping our dogs. They're raping their own dogs. Well, yes. You know, hell. It's their dog. Mind your own business.
We wanted to do it, but yes, you might have missed this. We're going way over on this because I got a lot of complaints about Spencer Pratt.
<That's> okay.
So, he's only like material campaign platform. He wanted to take money from nonprofit programs that he's been financing. Like, homelessness is down in Los Angeles by a fairly significant margin. Not enough to where it's gone or anything. It's not gonna ever gonna be gone. We don't have the political will to accomplish that. But she put Bass or the city government put a lot of money in some nonprofits that have managed to get the problem down somewhat. Right? It's like boring, fairly meaningful progress. Spencer Pratt's campaign is based upon saying those numbers are lies. He's going to defund all those charities and give the money to cops, who will then hit the homeless people shoot in the head all with batons, and then the problem will be solved.
Right. Right.
That's
it. It's wild to me to think that anybody in Los Angeles wants more money for the LAPD. All I ever hear out here is people complaining about them generally. They're like... they've started full-on riots and shit in the past, obviously, and super racist and all that. But also, like when you're, like, buying a house, it's like a thing. It's like one of the things that realtors would talk about is, you know, just how long it'll take the cops to show up if you call them in any one given neighborhood or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the big selling points to Burbank, is Burbank's got its own police department or whatnot, because everybody bitches about them all the time. So
But the people that have come out to the public to support him are all wealthy Hollywood types in Beverly Hills. The police are an amorphous concept, right, who crack other people's heads elsewhere.
Right. Well, I guess also, even after I say that, I guess anybody that's like conservative out here would hear me say that and be like, yeah, that's why they need more money. They, you know, that would be their response to that. So never mind. Either way, he lost, so that helps. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, what were you gonna say?
Well, nothing. No, you do it.
I wanted to play the, like, when I say he wasn't trying to win, his most successful campaign ad, I want to play this for you if you got this, Matt. It's an AI-generated video where Spencer Pratt is Batman.
Please, I'm begging you. There's homeless drug addicts in front of the schools. My children aren't safe.
Look, if you were a transgender migrant, I could get you a free pussy.
All right. And that's Puppet Nithy Ross. So that's Karen Bass and Joker makeup. Gavin Newsom hosting this decadent banquet where he offers a free pussy. And Nithya Rothman's a marionette on a string. And like Kamala Harris is also there. So if you can make sense about what he wants to accomplish, other than he's vaguely against trans people and wants to like, thinks the DSA are like dressed like cops. Like, I don't fucking understand what's happening there. But apparently that really resonated with the online right, who say they don't know who Nithya Rothman is, even though she's a puppet in that video. So my big picture takeaway from this is that someone like Spencer Pratt will be the Republican nominee in 2028. Like, they're going to nominate some fucking psycho with no resume who makes AI videos, and J.D. Vance will kill himself.
All right. Well, we got an honorable mention for you right after this quick break. Weekly Skews is brought to you by ZBiotics. Summer is officially here, y'all. Around that time, it means the calendar starts to fill up with fun stuff, backyard stuff, hitting that smoker, hitting the lake, boat things. You might have weddings you go to. You got, you know, people you only see whenever it's time to get out and about or whatever. You know, you're having a good time, which can mean throwing a few back, right? At least if you're cut from the cloth, I am. Problem is, I'm 40 now. As you get older, it's harder to do that and still feel like a human being the next day. You feel like you got to pick either a good night or a good next day. You can't have both. That's what I thought until I found pre-alcohol. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle those rough mornings after drinking. You see, when you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut, and that builds up, and that's what makes for the rough days after drinking, right? Well, pre-alcohol produces an enzyme that breaks that byproduct down, so you make pre-alcohol your very first drink of the night, then you drink, you know, the booze, but do it responsibly, and you will still feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have pre-alcohol before drinking, I notice a difference the next day. Night and day, the difference is. Long evening out by the fire with friends, I can still get up the next morning and do stuff with my kids who, you know, are more important, right? So you want to do one but still be able to do the other. And with ZBiotics pre-alcohol, you can do just that. So go to ZBiotics.com/SKEW, SKEW, to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use SKEW at checkout. The promo code SKEW, SKEW, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. They ain't no risk to you. Go to ZBiotics.com/SKEW and use the promo code SKEW at checkout for 15% off. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. Not the concept, the company, the sponsor we have this week. Listen, I'll be honest, I'm not a green thumb. I don't do much growing, but my wife, you should see my backyard. Turn into her own little secret garden back here. It's wild what she's doing, and it's the time for it. Spring and heading into summer, dude, just plants all over the damn place, and that's fine. I like plants, all right? But, you know, driving down to three different garden centers, come home with a back seat full of dirt, some sad looking plants because you're working with whatever their inventory is. So now we've been doing Fast Growing Trees, and good Lord, what a difference. You get online, you pick out the plant you want, they ship it to your door. You ain't got to drive around. You ain't got to have a mess in the back of your vehicle. The plants show up healthy and ready to go in the ground, right? And it's every single plant they have is backed by their Alive and Thrive guarantee. So it's guaranteed to show up healthy and ready to, you guessed it, thrive. They got plant scientists, y'all, on the staff. They make sure of it. 1,600 varieties they got over there. Fruit trees, shade trees, flowering stuff. They got house plants if you ain't got a yard, which is fine. If you got no idea what you're doing like me, they've got plant experts Tony, they got the plant bases covered. 7 days a week, you can call them and they'll walk you right through it. Fast Growing Trees is America's largest online nursery with over 2 million happy customers, and now is the perfect time to get planting. Right now, they've got great deals on spring planting essentials, up to half off on select plants, and listeners to this show get 20% off their first purchase when they use the code SKEW at checkout. That's an additional 20% off. Better plants and better growing at fastgrowingtrees.com when you use the promo code SKEW SKEW at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code SKEW. Now's the perfect time to plant, so let's grow together. Use the promo code SKEW at fastgrowingtrees.com to save today. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Summer's here. Everybody acts like that's automatically a good thing. Oh, I'm happy now because it's summer, but you come on now. It's stressful. You know, you got some, there's a whole lot of pressure. You got like trips to plan. I don't even want to talk about that, honestly, but I will talk about it in therapy because that's where you go to talk about things. But there's a lot of stuff in summer that comes up, you know, a lot of stresses that get added even when it's supposed to be the funnest time of the year, because that's what being human is being stressed out, right? But you don't have to say yes to everything. You can carve out a little you time, right? And that's the kind of thing that therapy helps you to understand, right? That's what therapy's good for. You got somebody to talk to. They can help you figure out what you need. You get comfortable setting boundaries. Build a summer that doesn't leave you running on empty before August even gets here. BetterHelp makes it simple. Therapy, that's what I'm talking about. Their therapists are fully licensed in the U.S. They've got over 30,000 of them on the platform, and they have served more than 6 million people worldwide. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 stars across more than 1.7 million reviews, that's a pretty good sample size. You can feel confident. Here's how it works. You fill out a short questionnaire. They match you based on your goals, and if the therapist you get matched with is not a right fit, that's fine. You can switch anytime you want to. No risk to you. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find the support you need in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/SKEWS. That's BetterHelp.com/SKEWS. BetterHelp.com/SKEWS for 10% off today. All right, we're back, everybody. Honorable mention for Daily Dumbass, the working class serfs of Shelbyville, Indiana, for having the temerity to form their own opinions.
I think it was very detrimental and very inappropriate and disrespectful language to be used.
People in Shelbyville are calling out their own mayor after he was caught on camera saying this.
I've seen a lot of these all over town.
Yes, more than 30. But I
only see them in houses.
All right, so what he was saying was he's seen a lot of these signs opposing data centers, but he's only seen them in front of shitty houses.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And then, bro, I
was like, did he say the N-word?
They were mortified. He goes, but they're people's houses. And he goes, ah, mostly rentals. If you wonder what Marie Antoinette would sound like if she lived in fucking suburban Indiana. So, yeah, this is about a proposed $2 billion data center, which is like a bit of a political flashpoint in that small city of Shelbyville, Indiana. And it sort of blew up after this because can you imagine them going more viral in a small town than a mayor making fun of everybody's shitty house?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about Shelbyville, but I mean, dude, it's Indiana, you know. I don't know. Maybe it's a wealthy fucking suburb. I don't know anything about Shelbyville. But I would just imagine in Indiana there'd be plenty of working class white people who would be pissed off by that.
But I mean, like people live in like houses that their dad had because who wants to find like? But I guess we had to just send the couple from Lovett and List It around to see who's allowed to vote. I guess that's the plan we're gonna do. That's our new fucking Jim Crow poll taxes. Is like some sort of like HGTV show where they come and inspect your fucking setup to see if you're landed gentry. So, but. Shit got real heated in Shelbyville. That happened after this exchange at a city council meeting, which you've got to fucking see the augurs of this to believe it.
Yeah, Mayor Scott Ferguson's comments came after this fiery exchange at Monday's council meeting.
Okay, can you guys share how much money you all are getting from the data center?
Who?
Zero.
You.
Us?
Yeah.
Oh, zero.
Okay. $7 million.
Yeah. I hope you're getting something because people are going to die from this going up in our community.
No, this, right.
What you really want to say is I'm getting $7 million sarcastically when the residents of your town are like, why are you fucking doing this when everybody hates it?
Right. Well, why are they doing it when everybody hates it? They're getting something, right? Isn't this just like what BJ talked about when he was on here, right? When he was running for city council in his town.
Look, I will say this. To in defense of city councils like this, right? They're looking at their constituents, who all politicians consider their constituents largely rubes, right? And their constituents don't want to pay taxes, but they want stuff. And then you have a data center comes to town, it's going to build in a parcel of land that nobody's using or used to be some sort of factory or something. And they're like, we'll go put this up and you will get millions of dollars of free tax money to use as you wish. Now, I have my suspicions. There have been communities where the tax money doesn't like materialize. I think a lot of the funding for these data centers are going to fall through before they're finished being built. Cities have also been caught like giving them way too many tax incentives to where it's not even designed to show up, where it's built upon a lie upon the city. But that is the promise. That is what they're doing. So to their mind, they're like, what do you rubes want? Do you want the school to still be open? Because the state hasn't sent us any money. Mm-hmm. And the constituents are like, well, we want the schools to be open. We don't want this building that keeps us up at night with the noise and gives us all cancer. And they're like, well, we can't have everything.
Right. Okay.
We got asked a question on one of our Q&As recently about messaging in the midterms. I got no idea, dude. I do think politicians talk too fake or whatever, but I continue to be amazed that like this is such a layup of an issue that somebody's not grabbing a hold of it and making it their main thing. Here's a video from MSNBC or whatever, MS Now, whatever it's called now, last week, where Texas voters are talking about James Tallarico.
Night, it's changed everything about how she lives her life, including politics.
Red or blue, if you vote against data centers, we vote for you.
A lifelong conservative, she's so angry, she refuses to vote for Trump-backed Attorney General Ken Paxton, who clinched the GOP nomination for Senate Tuesday. Instead, she's all in for James Tallarico, a Democrat seeking to flip a seat controlled by Republicans since 1993.
You're willing at this point to forego basically every conservative issue and let the Senate fall into the hands of Democrats if that's what it takes to kill data centers.
Yep. My entire community is going to break rank. Everybody.
All right.
All of us. We've had enough.
Okay. Breaking rank?
All right, we got a middle-aged white conservative lady in Texas rocking a Gojira shirt. Takes all kinds, Mark. People don't know. That is a French heavy metal band.
Pretty hard. I know it might be jarring for you, but you're starting to be in the age bracket where old people will be wearing shirts of bands you like, Drake.
That's true. Anytime I see, I know how dumb it is because fucking Paul Ryan loved Rage Against the Machine or whatever, but anytime I see somebody that's like representing some sort of musical taste that I like or appreciate, I'm always, and part of my brain goes like, well, they must be pretty cool, you know? But it don't be like that. Well, she does seem cool enough as far as, you know, Texas conservatives go. She seems she's fed up. They love being fed up. She's fed up in like a way that I can agree with right now.
Yeah. So a Gallup poll from March found that 7 in 10 Americans oppose the local construction of data centers for AI. 7 in 10 is almost too many to make me comfortable. Like, that's too many people to agree with me. Mm-hmm. Like about that leaves 30% of people on the other side, and like 30% is a magic number in polling in American politics. 30% of people believe in Bigfoot, ghosts. 40% of people consult tarot cards and fortune tellers. Exactly 30% of Americans say the presidential elections should be decided by the Electoral College rather than the popular vote. Basically, you get 30% of people in America to say they believe in anything.
Right.
So the thing about this movement is one thing you got to get comfortable with is you're going to have people. You're going to have a lot of MAHA people on your side.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a lot of the 5G fucking conspiracy theory people on your side. They're really on your side. They think the thing, the noises from the thing are giving them cancer. Mm-hmm. you got the NIMBYs on your side. But in 9 months, the American public has swung 49 points against AI data centers. Swing voters, the thing people love more than anything else in American politics, I have fucking found them, Trey. Let me read this to you.
Heat Map News' data shows that one of the top predictors, if not top predictor, of local opposition to a data center project is if the area voted for Barack Obama for president and then Donald Trump for president.
Huh.
I found them. Okay. I thought they didn't exist.
Right. What is... I mean, obviously, I agree with them about the data centers, but what tangibly has happened here, do you think? Like... You said it was a 49-point swing in less than a year. That's pretty crazy. It's not like there was like a big high-profile case of a data center fucking exploding and blowing up an elementary school or whatever, or going to Chernobyl or some shit. Like, it's just like some sort of groundswell of public awareness or something, or when they found out, oh, it's weird techie shit. I don't like that generally, but also there's no jobs associated with it and whatever, and it just... Something just turned or what?
Okay, so people generally get the vibes of stuff, and they tend to be directionally correct, right? Even if they don't follow the details of it. So if I were to tell you that, you know, you'd go to school, your kid's class size is bigger than it was last year, you drive through a pothole on the way home, you flip through a news story about how they say your job's going to be replaced with AI in 5 years. Another news story says they're building an AI data center in your town. It's going to be loud. No one wants it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't want it. And then also you get – here's this, I don't know if people know this, but like more money in this country is now being invested in AI data centers than is used in all public infrastructure combined.
That's so crazy.
So, obviously, one's private sector and one's public sector, but we as a society do get to decide what's private and what public.
Yeah, it's just such a crazy, massive bet, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody, just all the fucking rich people decided at the same time to just be all in on this one fucking thing, it seems like. Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild to me.
Yeah. And people have a vague sense that too much is being put in this. When trillions of dollars are being bet on business dickhead AI stuff that you're being told is going to ruin your life, that's the advertisement for it, while also your kid's school isn't being adequately funded, you just get the vague sense these things are bullshit.
Right.
You know, and everybody sort of fucking shares it. Mm-hmm. Now, this part of it's a moral panic, but rarely does a moral panic go in a good way. So I will simply follow the mob on this one. It, like I mentioned, the fact that a lot of this tax revenue is not going to materialize, but like even if it does, there's another part of this. Are you familiar with the term Dutch disease?
Dutch disease?
Yeah, it's a term economists use for like when too much of an economy is leveraged on one thing, and it's like I forget what that why it's actually used Dutch, but like the classic example is Venezuela. Like I said, for a certain point, 80% of Venezuela's economy depended upon oil exports, which is not a healthy way for a country to live.
You got to diversify your bonds. And word,
right?
That's from the Chappelle Show. Anyway,
yeah. So you get Dave Chappelle is a great investment advice. He's truly the Warren Buffett.
It was one of the Wu-Tang Clan who said that in the sketch. Yeah. But anyway, and I do trust them over at Wu-Tang Financial. But you got to diversify your portfolio with money and shit. You can't be all in on one thing. I assume it's called Dutch disease because they put everything into wooden shoes in the
1800s. It might have been the tulips, but yeah. So, right now, Northern Virginia, which has been nicknamed Data Center Alley by some people, they have so many data centers. If you rely on oil and gas revenue for your state's budget, eventually you kind of be reliant upon that industry to a point where you're not able to successfully regulate it as much as people would like. The example of that one is Alaska, right?
Right.
So, what's happening in counties like Loudoun in Virginia? The county started to warn that their budget is on track to be 60% data center revenues. And they're actually very concerned about how much data center money is providing a foundation for their living. And they're recommending against relying on it so much data center money because it presents our who's in charge of who fucking scenario.
Yeah.
Your county ends up working for the data center.
Right. Yeah, right. it's like a company town type of thing or whatever. The way that big coal had a stranglehold on all these communities and stuff for so long and everything, because it's like they pay the fucking bills or whatnot, and you feel like you said it's like that who's in charge here, and it becomes pretty clear who that actually is, you know. Mm-hmm.
And so right now in Congress, there's a bill for a national data center moratorium that's sponsored by AOC and Bernie. Now, Bernie's for it because Bernie's a true believer in AI, right? He thinks it's going to work and it's going to be the god that fucking can destroy everything if we don't have ownership of it. So what he wants is like a public ownership and universal basic income for like on the other side of AI when the robots do all the jobs. When we live in the Jetsons. Bernie's all of them. We live on the Jetsons. Okay.
All right.
I don't agree with him, but like, whatever. Like, it's but I agree with it, the
if
bill.
If we're going in that direction, anyway, we definitely, it would be better to have that, the Bernie approach of actually regulating the fucking shit and being prepared for it instead of just bending over and spreading our cheeks the way we seem to be doing.
We're building so many of these goddamn things that like no one, like, no one knows how many are being built, where the financing's fully coming from, how much of it's going to fall through, when the bubble pops, yada, yada, yada. No one's even really tracking them nationwide, except for Trey. Aaron Brockovich is on it. Nice. Aaron Brockovich has started an organization to track data centers based upon public reporting. Basically, when no one else would do anything in the United States, we all got to rely on Aaron Brockovich to get it done. But I do want to let you know that Congress has noticed the backlash, and they're on it, by which I mean spying on you. Let me quote here from this article titled, Congress's CIA eyes AI data center critics. So after January 6th, I didn't know this, the Capitol Police started their own intelligence services bureau to have intel, by which I gather what they do is surf the internet. Okay. I could have done that job for them. But every, like, everybody started getting private security a few years ago as like a status symbol, like all the rich people did. And now it's sort of extenuated to like private intelligence. Like they all have their own Blackwater and shit working for them. And now CIA had to get it. Congress had to get on theirs. So their intelligence agency sent this note to Congress warning them of potential. They just read the news and forwarded a summary of it to Congress, telling them that, by the way, people shot up a data center and people threw a Molotov cocktail at Sam Altman's house. There's only one problem here, is the report admits there is no evidence of any actual threat to Congress. Let me quote here, the U.S. Capitol Police is not investigating any data center motivated threats to members of Congress. So their official report is, there's nothing going on, stay safe out there, but we're keeping an eye on the American people, which is our job as law enforcement. They've been like compiling non-legally actionable death threats and forward them, like who would never see them otherwise. So if like someone on the internet says, man, we got to kill Congress about these data centers, and I as a member of Congress don't see it because there's some random Yahoo on Facebook, but you find it and send it to me, aren't you the one making me feel threatened?
Yeah. I mean, it's both. If somebody sends me, if Corey just sent me a random comment he saw that was like a death threat to me and I had not seen it, I still wouldn't appreciate the death threat, but I would also be like, what the fuck, bro? I'm fucking,
yeah,
I'm
Corey's the bad guy here.
I didn't have to know that. That's why I don't go looking for that shit.
Mm-hmm. And all these do you know what an intelligence fusion center is? But like, so after 9/11, Homeland Security set up all these regional intelligence centers to share information with law enforcement around the country, and they're all also watching people's anti-AI data center posts on social media. And that's where I discovered that. So if you guys literally, they're circulating ports where you like people like us bitch about Butlerian jihad or call for it, making a reference to the Dune movies, mm-hmm, or books. They're sharing that like we're calling for actual jihad and preparing to fight us. But that's how I discovered that NYPD is tracking the Zizians. Do you remember the Zizians?
Is that the death cult for AI, the AI death cult or whatever the fuck in California?
Yeah, they're one of the Silicon Valley rationalist cults. This one has a couple bodies to them. They killed that Border Patrol agent at the beginning of last year in Vermont. But the Silicon Valley I always bring it up. Sam Altman, Elon, all in different rationalist cults. The Zizians want to kill the robot god before it takes power. They also happen to be mostly a group of, a lot of them are trans, including Ziz, who's the leader of it. Right. So basically, I just have this funny image of like a NYPD cop whose wife's yelling at him to get out of the garage. He's like, Marie, I'm keeping an eye on the Zizians. They're like French Davidians that want to kill the robot god, and they're trans. Yeah.
All right. that's it. We're out of time this week. Thanks for watching. Listen, go to TreyCrowder.com and come see me live on the road, please. We've been having fun out there. Got Florida coming up, and then the Carolinas, and down near San Diego, and Northwest Arkansas in July, but a bunch more coming up the rest of this year. TreyCrowder.com. Check out producer Matt's audio exclusive called Good Skews. Good people doing good things. Tells you all you need to know. I feel like it's a nice palate cleanser for this show. That's on the audio feed, so like the podcast feed for this show is where you'll find that. And as for this show, if you want to support it and get some more skews in your life and ad-free versions of every show that we do, go to weeklyskews.com/more and sign up on Patreon. $5 a month, you get the ad-free versions plus two bonus episodes, including roughly quarterly we do skew and A's where we answer your questions and get back to you. So it's a good time. Check it out. Either way, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Love you. Bye.